My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Good morning, video games. Welcome once again to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Daslow, and with me, as always...
Hello, filthy animals. It's Ben Vanel here. And joining us, rounding out the trio on the end of the table, the big man himself...
It's me, Adam. I was trying to think of a funny name to say.
Sorry for opening with such a hardball.
Yeah. No, I know. I was like, I'm going to say a silly name, but the only name I could think of, I realized just before saying it, luckily, was just a person that I know.
Yeah.
Right.
It wasn't
right.
A funny name at all.
Can't wait to find out off air who this person was. Yeah. Make a note of this.
It's Scrambulous Frankston.
Steven Spielberg.
Oh.
I've got his number in my phone. It's one because he's the best director.
Yeah.
But Ben, you just did it. You just sort of did the same thing. Was it like, because you ended up saying Frank? Frankston,
yes.
Which it sounded like you got halfway through and went, oh, that's an actual place.
Yeah, damn.
So if
straight.
I put a little pause in the mid, Frankston, well, imagine?
I realized that I'd said Frank, a real name. I was like, well, I got to clear this up.
By instead saying a real place.
Yes. We used to have like whatever the opposite of an improv game is that we would do. We realized.
Something good.
Like,
yes.
Everyone in
you win the game, Tommy.
whenever we were trying to come up with names for characters, writing Chimp Cop, a fun sketch group that we do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Chimp Cop being the only funny name we have thought of.
Yeah, the rest are like John Huggins.
Yeah.
Huggins is actually pretty funny.
Yeah.
But we realized we were terrible at coming up with names on the fly.
Mm.
So you'd point at someone and go like, come up with a name. And every time you'd be like, the first one's easy. You can go like Graham.
Yes.
And then it was like Graham Strunston.
Yeah. Come
up with a name.
Klimpo Crafts.
Frankie Jonal Munger.
Yeah. Okay. That's not bad, actually.
Come up with a name.
Craig Sanson.
It's really hard in the middle of nowhere.
I might start doing this to strangers.
It's good.
You know, just anyone walking towards me, just, you know, make eye contact from a bit of a distance.
Yeah.
Then is where, you know, right about to pass each other. Come up with a name.
Billy Scrip.
That's actually good.
Yeah, Billy Scrip's cool.
Scrip could pass for a real name.
I was thinking Billy because I was thinking what you were proposing was very Billy on the street of you.
Ah, interesting. Yeah. Interesting. And Scrip sounds sort of close to street.
Yes.
This is a good game. I can't wait to play this IRL.
Use it when you write your own stand-up comedy show. If you have to put a fake name in there.
So what? Look at myself in the mirror and
correct.
Go, come up with a name.
Yes. Bloody Mary.
Okay.
Yeah.
Speaking of games, I'm going to feel very self-conscious during this episode because someone posted in our Patreon Facebook group that they were playing a game.
Oh, yes.
Listening to this podcast. I can't remember who it was off the top of my head.
Did we talk about this?
Oh, it was Crankston Flinglow.
Did we talk about this on the show?
I don't think so.
I think we just talked about it in real life.
Right.
Yes. I get those two mixed up. Between a podcast or...
Well, they're so similar. And it's so hard to recall in my memory if there was a microphone in front of your mouth as we were talking about it.
Dude, there's certainly something in front of his mouth.
Real life's just content you're not recording, baby.
Ain't that the truth?
But they would pause the episode.
So you'd start, you'd set up a joke. You'd be like, oh, well, I haven't seen something like that since the... and then they'd pause it.
Yeah.
And try to guess what I was going to say, which is surely impossible.
Go around the circle and see if they could predict. So this was like a group of them and they'd play it. Was it camping?
They were camping.
Or something?
Yeah. So it was one of our listeners basically got his friends onto the podcast and in the midst of that, this game came up.
Yeah.
Just and absolute strangers immediately like, oh, this Knox guy's weird.
Yeah, I reckon I can guess the joke he's going to come up
yeah,
with.
Yeah, I think that's rattled you a lot, Knox, because you don't have any idea of how utterly predictable you and all your actions are.
I'm not predictable. I'm a fucking fuck fuck. The sort of joke I would
How'd you go with that one, boys? did that give you a chuckle around the campsite? That is so funny, though, to be like, I assume, you know, like most people, their intent with a camping trip is, you know, get away from technology and get away from all our modern distractions. Let's gather around this podcast.
I know.
No, we've turned it into a camping game, so it still counts as us getting away from technology. Just bring the Xbox at that point.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Honestly,
yeah.
You're playing a game that's you listening to a fucking podcast in a group.
Podcasting is no game.
You're not off the grid, boys. I'm sorry to say it.
No. Maybe they were forced to camp. It sounds like it.
Yeah.
They really did not want to go out into the bush.
And yeah, that's a good point. And all these other people in the group, mm-hmm. this podcast that they've been forced to get into by this friend of theirs.
Yeah. Let's at least make this fun.
I'm very honoured, though, honestly, that I've been turned into a drinking game.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's always been my dream, is for someone to see me and feel as though... What, my mic's going wrong?
Yeah, just be careful with it.
I'm not going to be careful with shit. I'm a live wire. I'm a drinking game.
That's fine. Just don't hold the cable.
You can't control me.
I've
always wanted someone to see me and feel the need to take a drink.
We've put in a request to get some footage of this game being played.
Footage, audio.
Yeah. Mm. Now, do you feel like this has perhaps altered the way in which you're going to tell jokes on this show?
Yeah.
And follow-up question, are you up for like any kind of like, you know, match fixing here? Are you for sale?
Oh.
If one of these friends came to you and went, here's a joke I'd like you to say on the show.
A little bit of behind the scenes. I pre-plan every joke that I'm going to tell on here.
We write for you.
Yeah,
this shit is
heavily scripted. Yeah. That's why every episode is so tight and structured.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway. My butthole.
Oh, hell yes.
How'd you do on that one, boys? Anyone have to take a snifter of my butthole?
Love that we've got a new catchphrase on this now. How'd you go with that one, boys?
That's the new t-shirt.
But hey, maybe there's some people listening who, you know, if you think that sounds like a good drinking game, let's get this thing. You know what? Let's make this more popular than cards. What is it?
Cards Against Humanity.
Cards Against Humanity.
Just cards.
Cards,
just
cards.
Let's make this more popular than poker.
We want
poker. I barely know how to tell a joke. Now I'm throwing in curveballs.
Some red herrings there. Nice.
I don't like this at all.
I'm getting some campers drunk. And then afterwards, I'm going to do a podcast.
Oh, God.
I would love this to become more popular than Cards Against Humanity.
I'd like this to become bigger than Jesus, and I'd like that on record.
Yep, yep.
I don't reckon the Beatles would have gotten in trouble if they were like, I'd like to be bigger than Jesus.
Yeah. No,
that's a good point. I'd like to be better than Jesus.
Oh, who said that? A fuckhead? That was no accent.
Yeah. That was John Lennon.
I'd like to be better than Jesus.
Lennon just has a cold underwater.
Yeah.
I'd like to be better than Jesus.
Anyway, this is the beginning of you know, what me and Ben have always known is the eventual outcome for Adam Knox.
Yes.
You becoming a worldwide cult figure. Yeah.
And then I'm going to burn the whole place down.
Not cult leader, figure.
I'm becoming a cult leader. I'm going to fuck your wife.
Okay. That's on record now.
As long as at some stage you kill yourself.
Well, I don't think they end up dying, do they? Or do they? I don't know a lot about
cults. The cult leaders,
Jim Jones didn't he?
Jim Jones did, but I don't really know whether that was... Or, like, if that was his plan all along, or whether he just initiated those proceedings because they, you know, they killed that congressman.
Oh, yeah.
So he was like, well, it's all over anyway.
Sure.
We've all got to go.
Oh.
I don't know if there's any record of him ever going, like, or knowing, like, yeah, we'll get to all this eventually.
Were they the Kool-Aid ones?
Yes.
They're the Kool-Aid ones
right.
in the middle of
in the
jungle.
The sneakers and, yeah.
Before they did that.
No, they're not the sneakers is the Branch Davidians.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Sorry. I cut you off.
Oh, I was just going to say before they all killed themselves, it used to be called Lame Aid, but then that was so cool that it's called Kool-Aid. But
that's good.
No, it needed the momentum.
How'd you go with that one, boys?
The Branch Davidians is the Nikes, the Heaven's Gate.
Right.
And I believe that was always their plan because they're going to go up to meet aliens up in the sky or some shit. I don't know what the Nikes has to do with it.
Just cool shoes.
Just good shoes.
Yeah.
Just good. Just a coincidence that they all
have
the exact
same. Those shoes help you jump the highest.
Oh, yeah. Air Jordans.
Air Jordans.
Mm.
It's It's been a while since we've had a good, you know, newsworthy big cult.
I guess. I mean, there's been a lot of documentaries recently about them.
They're back in vogue.
Yes.
So it feels like the time is right.
I'd love to join one.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd be in one. Yeah. Most like kind of cult or whatever based documentary I've seen, mm-hmm. I've watched at a point in my life where I've gone, with what's going on in my life right now, the initial thing where they get you in,
yeah.
If someone came to me right now and said those things, I would be in.
Absolutely.
Beyond a shadow of a doubt.
The first bit where it's just like, this is basically just some structure to your day.
Yeah, exactly. Totally. Yeah.
That seems
Here's a bit
good.
Of help. Yeah. Here's a bit of guidance. Here's some answers.
Yeah.
Scientology, I watched that Scientology doco.
Yeah,
and was
same.
It was in the middle of Comedy Festival and went, yep. I need help. I need answers. I need someone to show
me the
way. Get out
of here, Louis Theroux. Stop wrecking it. I've got a good thing going.
Yeah. This is a fucking beat up, man. They're just good people. Yeah.
Steve Bennett gave you a personality test and you need help.
But yeah, look, if you're wanting to start a cult, let us know.
Because
we'd be into it.
And
we'd join.
Maybe we should start one. If you want to join one of ours, just let us know that as well.
Well,
our Patreon is it? Patreon.com.
Well, I feel like...
Yes, it is. It's a Patreon.com.
I know.
Yeah. All of those ones do start from... All the cults kind of start from sort of humble beginnings, you know, where it's like just, you know, it's with well-intentioned. So I feel like there's definitely... There's podcasts out there that will eventually become cults that already have the early makings.
Yeah. What are your top five potential cult podcasts?
Cumtown is already named after a town, which I feel like that's part. Every second cult is like named after the place where it's from.
Yes. Yep. Yes, that's true.
Yeah. Cumtown for sure.
And they have a ravenously addicted fan base.
Yep. Yep. It'd be cool if one of the many podcasts that's about cult leaders itself spawned a cult.
Yeah.
That would be pretty cool.
Would it be cool?
I think so. It'd be interesting.
Yeah,
at the
it'd
very
be funny.
Least.
It used to be called lame, but then after I joined the cult, it was called cool.
There we go. That one had momentum and it was still shit. But boys, we got news to get to.
Yeah?
Believe it or not.
New cult. Yeah.
A cult video game would be good. Oh, I guess that's what...
Far Cry 5.
That's what Far Cry 5 was.
Yeah.
It?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But where you play as the cult leader...
Like, yes, that'd be cool.
Like kind of cult tycoon.
Oh, I like this. Like a god sim.
Yeah.
Like I think I'm god sim.
Yes.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, I'm into that.
You can never win, though.
How do you mean?
It just deletes your save.
Yeah.
Is it a thing where you're just it's constantly resetting, but you're going for the high score of how many people you have in the cult by the time that
it all
Congress tries to shut you down and so you have to all kill yourselves?
Yes. I like that idea a lot.
Yeah.
Someone get onto that.
I hate this idea.
Why?
I think it's a sad video game. I want to play as a video game.
Oh, yeah, because no other video games have people dying in them.
No, they don't.
Call of Duty, number one fan.
I'm a Kirby boy, and that's all I'll ever. When he eats people, they love it.
Oh, dear.
You know what has a cult following? The Branch Davidians.
Yes.
Let's talk about them some more. No, like... So some news.
Are you trying to be coy about this segue?
No, some news. This is a clear segue. Some news broke before we started doing this recording.
Mm-hmm.
I guess last night, which is before we started doing this recording.
Oh yes,
falls under the umbrella of before.
Yeah, some news broke before we started recording. A sequel to Super Mario Brothers is coming down the pipeline.
I feel like sort of in the most of the 2000s, at least the early to mid 2000s, a lot of people were like, "Why is there no Harry Potter RPG?" How come that never happened? It seems like you go up through a school, it's Persona, but Harry Potter. Why hasn't anybody done that?
Yes.
Well, in 2018, the year of Harry Potter, it has been revealed that 2 years from now, there will be a Harry Potter RPG.
Yes.
Yeah, so some... Well, it hasn't sort of super been revealed. Some supposedly leaked footage of a Harry Potter game sort of filmed off screen.
Yep.
Almost as if by magic.
Ooh.
Ah, no.
What's Harry Potter about, by the way?
But some footage showed up online. It looks to be a kind of open worldy kind of RPG sort of thing.
Yeah.
So it shows like a character creator.
Yep.
It shows people walking around like Harry Potter looking towns. Not necessarily Hogwarts.
No.
More like towns.
Yeah. Like what's the town in it called?
Scrugglebusson.
Scrunthorpe.
It'll be called something like that. Avery. Or it'll be like a word that has been like Diagon Alley.
Yeah.
It'll be like my Perpendicular Alley.
I would get the impression that it's probably set at Hogwarts, but it's like
Straight
after,
Street.
After the time that Harry Potter and his friends have like, you know, left.
Well,
so you're there, you're attending the school in a post Harry Potter. Harry Potter is in this world, but it's post him being in the school.
I think maybe the opposite, that it's before, because all the stuff they're putting out now is like the Fantastic Beasts.
Mr. Fox and that's all. Find them.
Yeah. And that's all prequels. And this looked to me.
Oh, it is too.
Along similar lines to that, the design of the characters that you see briefly in this looked. One of them looked like Eddie Redmayne.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there was like a bundle of scarves in the corner, which I assume is Johnny Depp.
Yes.
And there were. It looked to me along the same lines as the and that would make sense that it would be that because that you tie
those
it
are the
into
most
the current.
Yeah, that's a good point. I kind of do like the idea though that you're there and it's like, you know, people are just constantly talking about this godlike figure that is Harry Potter.
Yeah.
But that does yours does make more sense.
It's crazy that like after everyone followed him, the godlike figure, he burned down Hogwarts and everyone inside of it.
Because I also would think that I don't know. Yeah, you're right. Like the them tying into the current sort of world that they're putting out there in the movies and stuff does make more sense.
Well, I always forget that Harry Potter is still going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That there's still Harry Potter shit coming out. It's,
yep. And wasn't that play set after it as well, I think?
The play is after, yeah.
With like their kids are at Hogwarts and I don't know what happens in it. I've never seen it because it's a play.
Yeah.
No, I like art. But
do you like talking properly?
Man. it looked more old-fashioned than modern day, because Harry Potter, the ones that are the main ones, are set in like the late 90s, right?
Yeah,
I think it ends
in
like 97.
Yeah, I think that's right.
And so modern Harry Potter would look like modern day.
It ends pre-9/11. Very convenient, J.K. Rowling. Very convenient.
She doesn't have to answer the question of why Harry Potter didn't stop it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean.
I guess they
You know how she's always coming out and going like, by the way, Dumbledore was gay.
Yeah.
I'm surprised she hasn't come out and gone, just for the record, you know, Harry Potter would have stopped 9/11. In that universe, he actually stopped it and it never happened. So, you know, just for the credit. Just if you want to think of this magical boy wizard as any higher in your esteem. I mean, he would have like just done a spell and put up a big net in front of the Twin Towers. The Pinnacle, though, that would have been fucked.
Yeah, no, it can't be everywhere.
Just wanted to let you all know.
Oh, he would have chased the planes down like a golden snitch. That's pretty good, right?
I do like how she keeps coming out and being like, by the way, all through book three, Neville Longbottom had diarrhea.
Yeah.
I didn't mention it in the books, but I always intended it for it to be that way.
But that's what I mean. Like, why isn't she aiming, you know, higher with this, you know?
I reckon for the exact reasons as how it felt to hear you describe what you just thought of is why she hasn't said anything. But yeah, there's not a lot of information because this was like an accident, like a proper leak. Somebody filmed this off of a screen and it looked like a put together trailer.
Yes, it did.
That will come out at some point. I assume at the Game Awards is the next sort of thing at the end of the year.
Yeah. I would assume an hour before we upload this. So all of these details, all of this speculation will be 100% confirmed.
Absolutely.
Or denied.
Yeah, it was planned for the Game Awards, but now that it's leaked, they've rushed it out and we haven't seen it.
I mean, it is weird. Yeah, I don't know. It is weird that it's like, you know, nearly 24. Like, you would sort of think, like, well, you just jump on it and get it out now. Well, I guess it helps them to have speculation and people talking about it.
And that's what they did with Rage. They'll probably do it at some point.
Yeah.
Because Warner Brothers issued the takedown on the videos that were up of this.
They are continuing to do so. It's annoying.
Yeah. Because we really had to struggle to find one of it to watch. But
Well, I watched a thing where it was like, you guys watched as well, and it was like a guy going, now, I'm not going to put too much of the footage in here because, you know, I don't want to, like, tread on copyright. But, you know, if you want to see it, just put in Harry Potter game leaked footage and that should bring it up. It's like, no, that's what I put it in. Yeah. And the first result is this video, you fucking idiot.
I reckon the two Warner Brothers have thought of this.
Are we in a fucking Christopher Nolan film? The time is just looping back in on itself. We're trapped, boys. We're trapped.
The footage was, brief.
Yeah.
Character creator, people walking around, someone petting a dragon.
Looked very just generic third-person action game, sort of. Didn't really look necessarily like full RPG.
Maybe like Witcher-ish.
Yeah.
I guess, like, just walking around.
Yes.
The theory is because Warner Brothers are issuing the takedowns that it's one of their studios, and Avalanche is the one that people are like, I reckon it's them who are the Mad Max people.
Yes.
They're working on Rage 2 as well?
Yes. And, so, yeah, Just Cause and, yeah, a bunch of more action games than RPGs, really. And
but I've also seen Rocksteady floated around as too, people thinking it could be them.
I think they've been... something like either they said it or someone said it's definitely not them.
Right.
Okay.
And there was some reason for it that I'm not remembering. If you just type in Harry Potter leaked footage, you'll find out what that reason was.
Let's call the episode Harry Potter leaked footage.
It's probably not Rocksteady, which still leaves a question of like, what have they been working on for 3 years since Batman, the last Batman one came out?
However, a fantastic record of taking a license and actually making a good game out of it.
True.
Yeah.
So, what do you think about that, boys? Pretty convincing, right?
A record of one occasion, multiple times.
Just the very limited amount of footage that is in this thing. I'm not a big Harry Potter fan. Yep. I think I read like half of the books and...
half of each one.
Yeah. Half of each one. Yeah. So I know how they all start. You know, you start, so you read the first half of the first one.
Yeah.
Then you read the second half. The first half of the second one.
Yeah.
Guess what? It's recapping all the stuff that happened in the second half of the first one. You don't need to have read
that's
it.
Yeah.
Now, where that falls over is I don't know how the whole thing ends.
All right.
You read Harry Potter books in
machete
order.
Weirdly, it's actually the start of the first one is the end of the series.
It loops back around. Yeah, okay,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The idea of a Harry Potter, like magic's cool. I like magic.
Yeah.
You can do a lot of stuff with that.
Yeah.
Setting it outside of just the actual Hogwartsy schooly thing could be all right. Like, I always wanted to know more about the outside world.
Yeah, those were the most interesting bits in those movies and books when they're like having a go about the like being in London and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Like,
couldn't disagree more.
Really,
I think that classic sort of going through school. As an analogy, like having the magic stuff as an analogy for like growing up and all that shit.
Sure.
I think that's really interesting. Probably more interesting as a kid.
Sure, maybe. But my point is I think it's just, for me, it was always so interesting to see how the concept of magic, how that comes up against the real world.
Yeah,
and there being actual kind of like consequences for, you know, real world people, muggles, I believe they call them in the books, you know, kind of them discovering what's going on.
Right.
That was very interesting to me. And yeah, I agree, like all the school stuff is great, but it's also like...
Yeah, stuff's more like the typical storytelling stuff, I guess. Yeah.
It's a different vibe when they're out in the real world because it's like, oh, there's high-level real-world stakes here, whereas in the school it's like, well, it's all kind of just self-contained.
And I was always interested in, like, what does a 35-year-old wizard do?
What are
their jobs?
Yeah.
And they can use magic.
They work at the Ministry of Magic.
But do they all?
Yeah,
that's
I think
it.
So.
But they show literally about two professions. Like, you're either in a fucking wand shop or you're working in the... You're working as a goddamn pencil pusher.
Yeah.
Just a magical rat on the fucking wheel, you know?
Where are the, like, magical pro surfers and whatever? That's the...
I think Kelly Slater was a magical pro surfer.
Yeah. That would be cool if that's what this game is. It's like California games, but they're all magic based. And they're all stuff that we haven't seen in the books or movies.
You play in the Harry Potter world and you're a wizard, but because you're competing in a human surfing competition, you're not allowed to use your magic.
Right.
So you just have to get really good at surfing.
Yeah.
A lot of surfing practice.
Do it the real way. But then like at night when you go home, you just pick up a cup with magic and bring it towards you.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really help.
It's like a mini game. It's like a mini game that you just do over the loading screen.
Yeah.
So what I was saying before, I've never been like a big Harry Potter fan or much of a fan at all. But idea of this does seem like it could be a cool game. Like based on the very little I've seen, I could be interested in playing this.
Sort of vaguely different and unique setting for an RPG interests me.
Yeah,
yeah.
Anytime, and I'm like, magic is not a new thing for Abbott, but like the sort of clash with the modern world thing, like you were saying, I think that could be cool.
Yeah.
But
this video that I saw, he sort of said that it, you know, it seems like sort of a bit like the game Bully, but with magic involved.
Right.
Which could be cool.
I think I maybe saw this, that somebody interpreted this from the video, that it looks as though if it was going to be set in the school, you would start in like the fifth year or whatever.
Mm.
And that kind of makes sense for a game because you wouldn't want to go through all the thing of like, well, how do we have it? You'd be 13 and 14. in this world and have you sort of slow, like, what are the stakes then? How do we make a child be the protagonist of this?
Yeah, sure.
I don't really think it would go too much outside the school, though. I mean, if you look at it, you know...
those movies do, the Fantastic Beast ones.
It's all outside of it.
No,
yeah.
To be fair, I have not seen any of them.
Oh, I've seen... Well, there's only one out.
Right.
And I've seen it. And it's all... It takes place in New York.
Right.
And it's... not as interesting as you'd think.
Right.
Yeah.
I never really liked any of the movies. I really liked the books back in the day.
I love the third... third movie? The first one with Gary Oldman.
Right.
And David Thewlis is great. It's directed by Alfonso Cuarón.
You cannot make up names.
I would think that it would be, even if it is set around the time frame of like pre the movies, you know, to tie into the current movies.
Yep.
God. It would still, for having the appeal of like getting Harry Potter fans in, it would need to be predominantly Hogwarts. Because that's the bit of it that people are invested in from the book. It's like, oh yeah, wizard school.
People will want to know what house they're in, what their Patronus is.
But if you were
all of that shit.
A character in the Harry Potter world, you would still have a house that you went to setting up at the character creator. It would be like, well, when he was in school, was he in Slytherin or whatever?
Yeah, yeah.
Like you'd have, those would be the four classes, I guess, is you'd have the Harry Potter houses be... Yeah.
I bet you know what it is. I bet it's like you do your character designer thing and then you don't pick your house. Ooh. So it's like based on, there's parameters based on like what you choose and then you go do the sorting hat and it picks it for you. Because that's such a big part of like the books and the films.
Well, that's like the Elder Scrolls games have that option for setting up your character of like answer these different moral questions or whatever. Like you see a thief robbing someone. Do you kill the thief and take the money for yourself? Do you kill the thief and help the person? Do you run away?
Yeah.
And that, it's exactly what you're saying.
I hate those kind of things because I'm such a... You know, I'm such a loose cannon. I'm such an unpredictable guy. Wow. I'm like, I do not feel catered for by any of these questions.
Ah, yes.
You know?
Dude, I kill the thief and ship myself.
Go home and blog about it. Thank you very much. I think just it being a... Yeah, like it so in the books and the films, the mainline Harry Potter things, they are, you know, they're going to their classes and then they're getting into like, you know, little mysteries and little adventures kind of outside of their schooling. So
this description of what Harry Potter is.
But I'm trying to think how it could be schooling based but also have kind of adventure
Persona.
Elements.
It's Persona 5 or any of them. That would be a good model if they were going to do that style of thing.
Yep.
So almost mini gamey kind of stuff where you're leveling up and learning these spells and all that stuff but
and
then
well
going outside the school grounds to see, because you can see in this trailer, in this footage, sorry, that there's like bits of them in caves and all this kind of stuff. So presumably venturing out into the outside world.
That's caving class.
In the Harry Potter games that there have been, none of which have really... I think there was one on like the Game Boy that was a sort of an RPG based on the first book. But I'm not
so they
sure.
kind of all suck, don't they?
I think all of them were pretty much bad.
Mm. Yeah.
So a lot of them, though, did only happen in Hogwarts, but it was almost like that place is so almost designed in the books to be like a perfect place for a Metroidvania type of game to happen that you could do it that way. It could all take place in Hogwarts.
Yeah.
And I think that people have moved beyond being interested in just Hogwarts as well.
Sure.
That's been so covered in all the Harry Potter stuff that if you wanted to entice people in, you beyond.
I still think nostalgia-wise, that's where, in terms of it being that big pop
you
culture.
You have Hogwarts in it. You have to go to Hogwarts.
Maybe you got to have it in there. But yeah, but also like everyone who was a super fan of Harry Potter is now like 30. So it can't just be a simple kids going to school game. It's probably should be a typical modern day RPG.
And it makes sense. It ties in with the modern things.
Yep.
It expands the world. You can make, if you're going to make an RPG, it probably makes sense to have it be on that sort of grander scale.
God, I'm just thinking about all the fucking tweets we're going to get about this when the trailer, when it all does actually get revealed. Oh, good one, boys. It'll be set in Hogwarts, will it? Oh, God. I just flashed forward like 6 months and just the ats lighting up.
Fuck.
How well you do in potions class and stuff like that would mean you can make better potions.
Oh, what a jump.
That could happen. That's how they do it.
How did you figure that one out?
Mark my words, boys. Mark my words.
All your skills.
Let me finish that one for you.
All your skills will be called like Defense Against the Dark Arts and all the names of the classes there.
Mm-hmm. lotions and potions. I think it's what it's called.
So
I'm also
yeah.
not a big Potterhead, by the way.
Okay, that was going to be my question. Are you guys interested or excited about this prospect at all?
Yeah,
I don't know.
A good game's a good game.
The footage actually looked good. The footage looked a lot better than I thought it was going to.
I agree. Like the footage to me looked like even if the Harry Potter books doesn't exist and it was like, hey, we've had this idea for a game where you're studying at wizard school, it's like, this looks like a cool concept for a game.
Yeah.
So if it's standalone enough that it's just like, you don't have to, it's not just like, you know, the fan service of like, oh, this reference to fucking, what's the stuff that they drink? Butterbeer?
Dumbledore's.
Butterbeer sounds right.
Grungle.
Yeah, it's Grongletown.
Grongletown.
That's what they drink. Give me a cup of that sweet, sweet Grongletown, you idiot.
Yeah, that sounds so much less stupid than fucking...
Two things that are edible, butter and beer. I think it's butter beer. But yeah, I liked the Harry Potter books because the plots were well written in them, I think. And not necessarily the moment to, but like it was a good overarching story that happened throughout those books.
Yeah, I don't mind the movies.
And
so,
the characters were well done and that sort of stuff. In the books, I thought the movies weren't great.
Right.
But the books.
The movies kind of up and down.
It
I
was
think,
never
as a
the
series.
World, though, that was the interesting part of it to me. It was never the expanded thing of like, ah, a gremlin.
Sure.
Look at him in the corner.
Yeah. I think they're all kind of tonally pretty. They all kind of. Because they change directors so much, so that they don't feel unified in any way. Mm. They don't feel like they're from the same series.
The ones that are similar are the most boring ones.
Yeah.
I never really liked any of the actors.
Oh, really?
And any of the jobs they did.
You don't like Daniel Radcliffe?
It's a good John Lennon, mate.
That wasn't meant to be Daniel. It was just meant to be a British person asking you, whether
person.
Or not you don't like Daniel Radcliffe.
Today, sir. Yeah. Why, it's Christmas Day.
Now, you know, mock it
My
all.
My name's Daniel Radcliffe.
Well, blow me down if that doesn't lead us nicely into the next bit of news we have to talk about.
Oh, boy.
Daniel Radcliffe, secretly from Texas.
Yes.
The news has been revealed today. How does this lead into anything? Oh, Red Death.
Yes.
Wouldn't you know it, once you thought about it for more than half of a second, the answer came into focus. So another game play. Game play trailer.
Yes.
For Red Dead Redemption 2, the second one of these...
The second game in the series.
Of the explanation-y trailers that they've put out. The second one of these two trailers that they've put out where, like, the woman goes, by the way, there's going to be a bunch of bears in this.
Yep.
And all that sort of stuff. I don't...
The woman narrating this is it's starting to get very weird.
Yes.
I watched it and I don't remember a single detail from it.
I skimmed through it.
Yeah.
Right to the end with...
I don't have 4 full minutes. give me the cliff notes.
That's it.
There's cliffs in it. I'm in.
The first person stuff was featured in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they showed that.
Yeah.
And we've known about that for a while, but it looked first person and it looked decent.
I think it looked good. I think I've played first person cowboy games.
What? First person cowboy? Oh,
Call of Juarez. Yeah, right. And there's another one. And they were really fun.
Yeah.
But they weren't as
deep or
as interesting.
You're not going to end up using it, though, because it's a game that's designed to be... I tried to play first-person GTA.
And I loved it.
Yeah,
did you really?
Yeah, I like it a lot.
I couldn't get on
with it. But you're not into first-person games.
Yeah, that's true.
And we play like a lot of like Fallout. We play a lot of first-person games.
It felt like to me it's like it's designed to be played third-person, so it always felt a bit like, you know.
Yeah, the weapons in Red Dead 1 at least fire quite slowly. And I think that might make me not want to use the first person just because, like, I will probably switch between them to look at stuff from different angles.
Yeah.
I
think it could be useful in the shootout missions where it's really just like you're behind cover, you've got to take all these guys out. I think it could be very useful there.
It sounds like because they gave a bunch of journalists, ourselves not included, like 5 hours with the first 5 hours of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And from all accounts that I've seen of that, it seems like the primary thing they're going for with this game is like make it immersive, make it like you get lost in it. And a first-person perspective for me does help with that sort of thing.
Yeah, okay.
Totally.
Walking through the woods, tipping your little hat at every badger you walk past.
Yes.
Oh, Marone.
What about in the game?
I'd see. Okay, yeah, I'll be. That's the main thing I'm really interested to see how much that pays off, because so far in these two gameplay trailers, with the you know, the lady voiceover being like, you know, and you'll do this, and you know, then this will happen, and I just out loud go, no, it won't. You know what I mean? It's really trying to make you feel like, hey, this is a living, breathing world where, like, this has cause and effect. And it's like, no, it doesn't. Like, come on, because we've all heard it a million times, and then it's the most – like, there was a thing the other day about, oh, there's 11 different breeds of horse. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah,
like,
tell
who
me the,
cares?
Which one's which?
Yeah.
They're
all
in a line right there. Yeah. Point out which one's which.
And they've all got different characteristics. I bet, you know, one of them's slightly faster in a way that, like, you know, someone will do a video measuring them all up and it's like, oh, cool, that one gets you there 1 second faster.
Yeah. Like, in Final Fantasy VII, a game I don't know if you guys know, I like, they had chocobos and they were literally different colors based on their abilities. So, like, red was fire. But, like, I think green went over swampland,
blue
went over
Captain
water.
Planet and the Planeteers.
Yeah.
And it'd be good if they had that much variation on them. But from the
and if they were different colors.
The horses will be different colors.
Yes.
There will be a brown one and a white one.
Ah, sick.
And a black one, probably.
Yeah.
And that'll be it.
Okay.
Because that's the only colors horses are.
Well, they should be green and red and stuff.
Nah. Disagree. If they focus on immersion for every part except, like, also the purple horse is if you pre-order the game.
Yeah.
It'd be a gold horse.
The thing that I'm worried about as well is they're like, oh, this crazy shit's gonna happen. Like, going, oh,
that does sound worrying.
You might be running through the middle of the forest and all of a sudden you see a robbery, and then there's four other types of things that happen, and you'll see them all 30 times.
Look, that's what happened
fine.
In the first game.
Yeah, and it was a little after a point when you saw another person being hanged in the middle of the desert, you're like, fuck off, game.
Yeah, but that game was like, what, 20 years ago?
But this is the thing.
But surely it's more advanced than that. Surely it's got to be more subtle than
I'd
that.
I'd hope so.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I don't care if it's not. I'm happy to play a video game where I don't need to be tricked into thinking that I'm actually out in the real world.
I do.
I
want every time I turn the console off afterwards to go like, what year is it?
That's I'm gonna when Cyberpunk comes out and I play it with a VR headset, that is how I want to feel. And it will never leave that game.
And the point is that they're shooting for that as well.
Yes.
Like, they're explicitly saying,
yeah, exactly,
this is what this game will be. And that does set it up weirdly to fall short of that.
Yeah, I don't mind if it doesn't do those things, but it's this insisting and this really ramming it down our throats of like, oh boy, you are not gonna know if you're looking at the TV or out a window.
Sure.
And in the past.
Yeah.
Because the stuff they're saying as well of like, if you eat too much, you're going to get fat, like in San Andreas.
Which
I
loved.
Never paid attention to.
No, though. I love San Andreas is the best GTA game for that stuff. It's
so
customizable.
But none
and
of it really mattered.
It made me feel immersed in the world. It genuinely did. The more clothing customization options you have, the more immersed I am. I'm into it.
It makes me feel like it's more realistic if the character wears one uniform that they stick to, because they found their look, and whether it works or not, they're sticking to it.
So if there's a Kmart that you can go and buy shoes from in Red Dead, but that's it, that's your only customization option, you'll be on board.
I want to wear that little farting dog on every pair of cowboy chapless boots that I wear.
I'm waiting for the onslaught of a billion Kotaku headlines that are just like, someone's found a way to put Mambo t-shirts into Red Dead Redemption. You know, there'll be all these dumb mods that spring up that for some reason each and every unique mod demands its own headline on Kotaku. They love it.
Shoot, Barney the dinosaur in Doom.
Yeah. The other thing, and this probably isn't news to you guys because you've played the first one, but I had not seen any of this in the context of this game before.
It's Cowboys.
Cowboys,
Nice. Yes. I reckon the campsite just went up at that one. They fucking had a ball.
They got a little Benny bonus in that one.
The what's it called? The slow motion kind of aiming
dead
thing.
Eye.
Dead eye.
Yeah, but did she say there's like a newish where you can like, you can kind of mark.
That was no, in that, the first that, one.
That's in the that, first one? Okay, yeah. Now that looks cool. I didn't know, you know, I've never played this
good
one.
Yeah,
it looks
cool.
Really cool.
It was so clever because it fixed the problem of shooting with these inaccurate weapons.
Yeah.
And like from horseback and shit, which is really hard to do with a control stick that you can't. So being able to actually feel like you could be a competent gunman.
So like the loop was like you could sort of have aim assist and snap to enemies and shoot without that, and it would build up your meter every mm-hmm. time you did that.
Right.
Once it was full or half full or whatever, you could use it to get more difficult targets.
Right.
But also, like, there was duels, and it was useful to, like, pick out weaknesses and, like, little spots and shit, and you could ragdoll them, and, yeah, it was cool.
And all that stuff that they're kind of going, like, look at all this crazy shit in the second game. Was most of it in the first game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it looks like they're doing a good job. Like, I'm not down on the game.
It's just a high bar.
Yeah, I'm really excited for it. But, you know, it's like one of the most popular games of all time. It's fine to just go, hey, it's another one of them.
Sure.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah,
totally. Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker, again. Die Hard 2 style, just like, how can the same shit happen to the same cowboy three times?
Yeah.
But, yeah, not too long now. Not too long, like three, four weeks? Yeah.
26th.
Hell yeah.
Which I guess is why it's a little weird to be putting out a video like this with these details now. It's like, you know, we'll get it soon enough. Like,
yeah.
Well, then the other thing with that game that I didn't realize is that the online, similar to GTA 5, I think initially, is coming out like a fair bit down the track. Mm. Down, it's going to mosey on down a path.
Down that dusty trail.
Yeah. What's that I see over the horizon? Well, if that isn't my good friend, Beckersless Multiplayer.
more Die Hard. Love it.
Yeah. On Skesimos Multiplayer. That's
Hello,
what I think.
It's John Lennon. I'm here to play.
Every old-fashioned Western name was always like, Constanticlus.
Was
they
it?
Almost sounded like Greek. You know, like the old kind of guy.
In everyone.
Yeah.
How many old-style Westerns have you seen?
I guess one, and it was in Greek.
Oh, boy.
But
that game looks good, but all this stuff, they're sort of going like, how crazy is this shit? You can wear a hat and then the hat falls off. It's like, okay, Mario 64.
I don't know. I'm just like, I loved Far Cry 5 because of the setting, that alpine sort of shit. And it was fun to just muck around in that because of that. It was so well depicted and it wasn't that deep.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't seem like it is going to be as deep as this is.
I'm totally into walking through a forest with good wind sounds.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Drink.
That's a new low.
But like The Witcher did that really well, where I would just stand in the woods and fucking
same.
Watch the trees blow around, and I'm looking forward to doing that in Red Dead.
Yep.
So I don't know.
Yeah. This is gonna be huge either way.
Yes.
Yeah. Like
I reckon it'll flop.
Yeah. It's inconceivable that it's not one of those ones where it's like the embargo breaks and it's just like a smooth 97 on Metacritic. Yeah,
Red Dead Redemption 1 is the last game I can remember getting earlier than the release date.
Me too.
Shop.
It's actually the only game I've ever done that with. I saw it on like Whirlpool forums or something.
Yeah.
It's Broken Street Date. And I went straight down and bought it.
It sort of never happens now, does it?
I think Rockstar must have gone like, you motherfuckers.
Yeah.
And like everyone got kind of angry at them after that.
But heaps of games did. Mm. Like I remember
they always used to do it. And it was the sort of the last one I can remember it happening with.
Mm. Yeah, right. Yeah. No, I don't know what the cutoff. I guess it's just like like shops being a bit more savvy now.
Yeah.
Like it really starting to become a bigger and bigger industry of like.
Well, especially now that there are those games where you can pay $100 instead of $50 or whatever and get it 5 days early.
Yeah. And just general pre-order stuff, pre-order bonuses, preloading games in digital, like it's all different, man. Yeah. It's all different.
Dude, the world's changed. We're not here in the old West. Me and my friend Homunculus Jones.
This one's Strawberry Fields Forever.
I remember people telling me that they're like hearing some stories of people like going into whatever JB and just managing to sweet talk the person at the counter and be like, hey, you got any that's out in a couple of days. Are they sitting out the back right now? And
they're
going, and just managing to just luckily get someone who doesn't know how it all works.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd love to just get one now if that's okay. And then go, all right.
Wow.
And then clearly there's now just like, there must have to be store-wide absolutely under no circumstances.
Release dates have become more of a thing for every form of media as well, though, I think.
Yeah.
Like nobody used to give a shit when a VHS came out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I suppose. Maybe they did. But I feel like it was just also nebulous that it's like, it's out around now.
It's,
when you get the shipment.
It's out 9 months from the, like it was, everything was so late.
Especially in Australia where you get it later than the rest of the world as well. By the time it came out over here, I was like, yeah, fuck you.
Yeah.
Well, it was harder to be constantly aware of what the release date is too.
Yeah.
Like you can be out now going, when does that game come out again? And Google it on your phone instantly. Whereas previously it was like, well, unless you had the magazine right in front of you.
And even then it'd say March.
Yeah.
Man, I remember, I used to just, not specifically knowing when something would come out and being in like Kmart or whatever and just seeing it on a shelf and going, oh, fuck, it's out, fuck.
Yeah.
I hadn't saved enough pocket money yet. Like,
oh, God, not here, not now. That's right, listeners, we grew up in the Wild West.
But just, having that thing of just like, fuck, I was not prepared for this. Yeah. Like, I know it's out now. Mm. I don't have enough pocket money yet. Fuck, I've fucked it all up. Everyone hates me. It was a great time.
This is becoming more relatable.
Technology has really ruined everything.
Yeah.
Also, what is there? There's a thing that you found, Ben, about a new cloud service.
Yeah, so we talked on the show previously about Nintendo.
Have we?
Once or twice. Too many times. They did this cloud streaming thing with Resident Evil Biohazard
7
initially.
And they're doing it with Assassin's Creed Odyssey as well?
Yes.
But only in Japan.
And so you have to do those ones. I know we're going to talk about a different thing, but you have to download like a demo of it first to establish whether or not you've got a fast enough internet connection before it'll let you buy it.
Yeah, right.
And even then, you're only renting it.
Right.
Like, you can't then play it on the cloud forever. I think you get it for like a few months or something.
Right. Yeah. So basically, Google are doing this as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's so weird. Like, they're doing another game streaming service where you can... they're only demoing it now, so
It's called Project Stream. It's like a big...
How did they come up with that name?
I kind of admire them for doing it.
It's pretty crazy that they haven't already had a Project Stream.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, it's a big open beta test. Basically, I do think for this, you just tell them like how fast your internet is and all that shit, and they're like, okay,
you're not buying anything. I think that was the thing on the Switch is that because you were having to give them money, they couldn't then not deliver the promised product.
Totally, this is free. You just have to pass the tests and stuff like that. Series of escalating difficulty.
You come across a thief.
This is interesting. Like this Nintendo stuff was Japan only because of that internet speed issue that affects us.
Yeah.
But Google, obviously, it's a global company with a global focus. It's based in America.
Fucking infrastructure behind them.
They got that infrastructure, and they've always wanted to be a player in the games market. It seems like they've sort of been pushing Google Play a bit more, and as Apple has fallen away because they did not succeed at all with
that. There was that Apple TV that you could play games on that felt like that was them dipping their toe in the water.
Well, that's the weird thing with all this streaming stuff that Google wants to... Basically, like, the details of it aren't out there. What you can sign up to do now is test with, like, one game or whatever.
Yeah, with Assassin's Creed Odyssey as well, yeah.
So, obviously, they want to work out, pay us however much money, and you can probably play this library of games streamed or whatever, or maybe one at a time or however it works.
Or it's like they... Because the whole thing with this is the servers, wherever, on the back end, are the things that will be the most critical. It's like, are they fast enough to stream this game to you? What service are you going with? Which one's the best?
So do you remember, like, the Phantom... The comic book, the console, and there was like another one that I forget the name of, but there have been a few of these boxes over the years where the whole idea of it is like, this isn't a console, this is a streaming box, we have the consoles in server racks,
right?
You pay us to play, and they've all been non-starters.
Right.
None of them have ever really panned out or worked properly, and obviously it's because it was years ago and so that the technology was different, but also I wonder if this is just a tree that can't be barked up.
Maybe. It feels like... The internet's only going to get better, though.
Yeah.
And it's... I don't think... It doesn't feel like it's at the point that it needs to be, though, for
especially
us.
For games big time. Where it's... obviously, you can do this with movies already, but, like, the timing that you need for a game to be enjoyable and how quickly it can feel bad to play a sluggish game, especially in Australia, but, like, maybe anywhere, it just isn't... And it would
have to be perfect, right? It'd have to be one-to-one. The internet would have to be perfect.
And then what's the pricing structure to make it worth it versus actually owning the game or having one of the sort of like Xbox Game Pass type things?
Yeah.
You could probably play it on just a computer, so that's some money out of the way already, or on an iPad or whatever.
But yeah.
Think about like 10 years ago, the likelihood of being able to get like a decent streaming service to work on what the internet was then, it would have been, pretty jangly and pretty and I mean look definitely in this country like there's a case to be made that still is what is happening in certain parts of the country and certain internet connections that you might have or whatever. But, you know, it's like we said when we talked about the Nintendo trial of it with Resident Evil. You know, if the internet does get good enough for this to become commonplace, well, then it won't matter what, you know, hardware won't matter anymore. Like so consoles specs will become irrelevant. Like if you're just having a little box that you're streaming from a, you know, remote location, it can just get as, you know, you can just have as good a graphics and everything as you want without the need to ever upgrade what you're playing it on at your home, which is a pretty exciting prospect.
Yeah.
Not for the people that manufacture hardware whose livelihood depends on it.
Yeah. I mean, then they still got to sell a whole bunch.
They got to sell screens. They got to sell controllers.
Well, and machines to these server racks that are serving up all these games too.
That's true. Like,
yeah,
that's true.
Where's that coming from, huh? Yeah. The fucking ether? Magic? Yes. Maybe the Harry Potter RPG, but we don't even know if that's real.
Yeah. That would be great. By the way, that would be great if it all turns out that that's fake. Just a very, very great con job.
Fuck.
This was footage of Oblivion. I don't know how you got confused. It's like the idea itself, having Netflix for games, is something we've been talking about for fucking ages, and is a solid idea, I suppose, but there hasn't been a good implementation of it yet.
Yeah.
Really, like Game Pass and that sort of stuff, I where you can download the game, is decent.
The Xbox thing is the closest thing to it, I guess, like having a huge back library and then getting new stuff thrown in on top of that is
You get
great.
Some new stuff, like the Microsoft stuff.
Yeah, that's what I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like...
But like that's just kind of like the equivalent of like, you know, Netflix originals, I guess, of like, well, now we're making new stuff for this platform that you can only get here.
It feels like... For some countries where the internet is fast enough, this is just a matter of time.
Yeah.
It absolutely makes perfect sense financially and for the consumer as well. It's like, yeah, cool, of course this is what should happen. But for countries like Australia and for developing countries without the internet that even we have, it's just not possible. There's got to be hard copies.
Well, I'm still fucking wandering around the place buying discs because I don't want to have to download all that money, and also they're a lot cheaper than the digital versions.
Mm. Yeah.
So, but a lot of it is to do with the data. Like I got Forza Horizon 4, which I was planning to talk about on this episode.
Yes.
But then it had 18 gigabytes of downloads on day one to do. And so I haven't fucking played it yet.
Yeah, that's
which
crazy.
Which for anyone in, and probably like most of the developed Asian countries and the USA, 18 gig is nothing.
Yeah.
Like that's half an hour for me, downloading time. But
I got to walk down to the fucking well 6 miles away, pull out some data.
Yeah.
But I've played about an hour of it, and so far I can confirm that there are cars.
Yep.
And it takes place in the United Kingdom.
Interesting. Oh, interesting. Yes.
And it seems good, and the Forza games are fun. The Horizon
so you're a fan of the previous. Have you played all of them?
Right. They've been basically like the banner games for Xbox for a while, right?
They're really fun. They're like the sort of spiritual successor to like Project Gotham or something like that. Where
was the last one the Australian one?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And yeah, this one seems great. It looks fucking amazing, and it's the same exact structure as the others, where you're doing races, driving around an open world, building up points to get better and improve your cars, and then eventually win the ultimate race, which is the race to the grave. But
okay, this sounds like our cult leader sim.
It's and like the you know it's
and got what house are you in?
The Senate.
Okay,
nice.
The upper house. The radio stations are sort of British and fun. Not all the music is British, but the announcers.
Well, I mean, they're allowed to listen to stuff from the rest of the world.
No, Brexit happened, man.
Yeah.
It's Brits only.
It's Arctic Monkeys and nothing else.
I'd be fine with that.
Can do a cover of an American song.
Oh, there we go. Sure. There we go.
Yeah.
And I will always love you. Whatever. I could.
That was good.
I thought I'd be able to do the voice. Yeah. It's just because I did the melody from Marty Bum.
What if they did? What would it sound like, Adam? And I pray you'll indulge me if the Arctic Monkeys, specifically their lead singer, did Uptown Funk.
Well, Uptown Funk. The answer is I don't know.
Okay.
But yeah, and the countryside looks great. The whole thing is like seasons, but I haven't really seen all that shit play out yet because it's on like sort of a you go through the seasons once, I believe, towards the start of the story, and then it's on a weekly timer. Where it'll change for everybody.
Seasons change.
Yeah.
Is that song in there?
Week one of October.
Well, it's not British, so.
Yeah, but he said there's non-British stuff in there.
Oh, yeah.
No. And I hate it. and I'm not going to talk about the non-British stuff.
Okay. Only covered by the Arctic Monkeys.
Like, I've seen the track list for it, and I think it would be cool if there was a bit more focus on British stuff, particularly with like the hip hop and stuff like that, where like there's no fucking like grime in there.
That seems like an oversight.
Right?
No Dizzy Rascal.
So, look who's come around to my way of thinking.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
No.
Look who's joining the fold. Have a sip of this. It's
lame.
It seems good. Those games have such a formula to them now that like it's pretty easy to see where it's going. But it seems like it has a sort of fun vibe to it again. And I'm into it. I'm going to play more and talk about it in the next episode.
Excellent.
Cool. Yeah. For now, my only critique is the fact that I live in Australia.
I haven't played anything new this week. Mega Man 11 came out, which I was thinking I'd go in on, but it's, you know, the reviews are good, but saying that it's just a bit more Mega Man, and I've just got such a backlog at the moment that I've got to cut myself off for a bit.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have expected that Mega Man 11.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like the previous 10, but newer.
But it's got kind of a newer. Because 10, I think 9 and 10 had a retro look.
Oh, yeah.
And this is the first one in a while. Or maybe the first, no.
7 and 8, I think. This looks like 7 or 8.
Okay, right.
Maybe 8 was on the PS1 and looked a bit like this.
Which, if it had more of a retro look to it, I probably would be more interested in it. If it kind of looked like the old games. Like, I don't love this.
I think I would be less. Same at the moment.
Same. Yeah, I'm kind of over retro stuff. I haven't played Dead Cells. I'm not. I just want new shit.
I want to look at the future, man.
Yeah.
I generally am too, but
looking forward to Red Dead Redemption 2.
This just looks, I don't know, it doesn't look quite all the way there new enough. Like it's pretending to be. I think that's kind of a thing that I've seen in reviews of like, well, it looks new and flashy, but it's just doing a lot of the same old stuff. So it's like, well, if it's going to do a lot of the same old stuff, well then my feeling is I would prefer that it just look this. But anyway.
Yep.
Change it up after 11, man. Number 11. Yeah.
12, probably my turn to go back in, I reckon. I have though played a little bit of I think number 2 on my little Famicom Mini that I got in Japan.
Oh yes.
And yeah, fuck me dead. Just so hard. Yes. Those games are brutal.
I think 2 is the only one I have played and it's super, super hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. But fun, like really satisfying and rewarding. Yeah.
I've only ever been able to play them on like an emulator where you have the rewind function.
Totally.
Oh.
So I can just undo every mistake that happens. Which is I've never gotten better. It's me rewinding the intro screen again. Which button? Start.
Yeah, start game. Oh, fuck.
What do you mean press it? Like pressure it?
Wait, who made this? I need to see the logo again. I'm sorry, team. I've not brought anything to the table this week.
Well, you should have played about 40 minutes of Forza like I did.
Speaking of playing about 40 minutes of a game, I started playing a game that I was really excited to start playing, Divinity Original Sin 2.
Okay.
An isometric role-playing game in the style of Baldur's Gate, a little bit Diablo as well.
A little bit rock and roll.
I'm playing on the console version.
Yeah.
Which is the thing that came out recently.
Yeah.
Boy, I wish I was playing it on a PC.
Is it not made for a controller?
It's so slow and sluggish and hard to select things on the screen.
Are you doing like a Destiny-style moving the cursor around?
There is that thing? But that also is slow and imprecise somehow.
Right.
It's like sluggish.
Well, I've never liked the Destiny ones. I fucking hate using them.
It's worse than them.
Right.
It just feels like I should be pointing and clicking. And it's making the experience not enjoyable, and I don't want to keep playing it. So it's a real shame.
That is a shame.
Yeah. I basically would not recommend buying it on console, but it seems like something I'd love on PC. That's my review.
You're doing all right, though. You can double dip. You can buy it again on PC.
Well, no, because my Mac, I only have my Mac, and it's probably not quite good enough to run it.
Your life sounds awful. Well, I guess that's pretty much us done for the week.
Yeah.
Hey, fellas.
Yeah. I'm still playing Tomb Raider and I still like the things that I liked about it before and it's still kind
of
tedious.
Yeah, I nearly finished Tomb Raider, but I'm still bored of it.
Yeah.
I don't know what's wrong with me.
Yeah. Boy. But I don't know. Like, I still think if you like the previous two, play it because it's very similar.
The weaker of them, I think, as well.
Yeah. Even so.
Yeah, it's like, it's the definition of fine.
I so I'd say like the Rise of the Tomb Raider is like a 9 out of 10, like really good. This is like a 6.5, 6, okay. 6.8, you know,
I'd probably subtract 2 from each of those.
Yeah, yeah.
7 and a 4.5.
Very good.
You've nearly finished something that you rate a 4.5 out of 10.
Dude. I'm a 4. Nothing wrong with being a 4.
So you playing this game is you batting out of your league.
Only a little bit though.
Well, yeah, we got to wrap it up for another week. Next week we are going to be back with a
Big one. Episode. Yeah.
A big one.
A good episode.
Let's let's hype this in the hopes that, you know, our plans for it don't completely fall over.
Yes.
We will be reviewing one of the releases of this weekend with a special guest.
Yeah, yes.
A fan favorite, I believe.
Yes. Wonder who she or he is.
Yep. So that's going to be fun. Yeah, lots to talk about next week.
Assassin's Creed Odyssey, we'll probably both be playing Nox.
Yep. I'm definitely going to... I dropped off of Origins really quick, but the Greek setting is much more interesting to me for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And people, early word, really into it.
Yeah.
According to the...
I'm going
to
do more Forza,
yep.
A little bit of that Assassin, and some Super Mario Party.
Baby.
The big three.
We are going to be at PAX on October the 28th at 5 p.m.
Yeah.
In the Ibis Theatre doing a live kind of a wrap-up of the weekend of PAX. We're going to have a couple of special guests that we confirmed today, and they're both great.
Yeah.
People will be very happy with those, so that's going to be really fun. Yeah, we've also got our premium episodes over at Bandcamp, which is where we pick a topic or a series, mostly a series, and we kind of talk for like a couple of hours at a time.
Yeah.
And you can get all of them for each whatever you want to pay. I think minimum a dollar.
Minimum a US dollar.
Yep. Patreon if you want to support the show and get some bonus content and be in our Facebook group where we are interacting with folks in there.
Yeah.
Having a good old time.
$5 a month for the Facebook group, $10 for the bonus episode. We just did Prince of Persia and that was a good fun episode.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, filthycasuals.com.au is where you can find all that stuff. Hit us up on the socials, guys. Send us an email. We always love hearing from you folks. We'll see you next week. But until then, as we say here at the end of every episode,
the real cult was the friends we made along the way.
Not bad.
I googled cult quotes and nothing came up, so I just
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.